Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I had grown up my whole life, you know, not having any idea who my mom's family was. And I don't ever remember a moment where I didn't realize that she would like to know about them. And one really tricky thing that thwarted the whole search forever was that the adoption records in Tennessee, for some reason, were locked up. But I think in the 90s, there was a program that started called the Tennessee Right to Know, where they opened up the adoption records. So she thought, you know, oh, this is fabulous. I'll be able to figure this out. But the problem was her birth certificate was falsified, and the name on the birth certificate for her biological mother was a made-up name. And her actual birth date on the birth certificate was incorrect.
Really?
Yeah, it said November 22nd was the name on the birth certificate. But her baptismal records said December 2nd.
That's my step-cousin, Caroline Asher. Last year, she helped her mother get to the bottom of a family mystery that's been unresolved for nearly 70 years. And she joined us to share their remarkable story for a Mother's Day episode of She and Her.
Yeah, so Caroline's mother, Catherine, was born in 1947, and she grew up in a foster home in Memphis, Tennessee. Her household didn't have a lot of love or nurturing, and she never celebrated a single birthday or holiday. One of her most vivid childhood memories is walking alone to her high school graduation. But Catherine was always honest with Caroline about what her childhood was like and her own deep desire for family.
So my mom grew up with an older woman who she called her mother. But this woman was maybe like 60 or so when my mom was born. And she had a son named Buck. And he lived at home all the time because he had epilepsy. So he sort of acted as a father figure for my mom because he was maybe in his 40s or so when she was growing up. So kind of the appropriate age for a dad. And his older mother was kind of this grumpy, kind of mean woman who was just not very warm and caring. So he was my mom's real anchor and father figure. And so I grew up always kind of understanding that my mom had been how she got into this situation was that her mother, whoever she had been, had come to Catherine Sproul's house, that was the name of the woman who raised my mom, as a pregnant woman and had the baby and then left her, my mom, with Catherine Sproul. And my mom, as a child, remembered growing up having other pregnant women in the house. So Catherine Sproul was this woman who, through whatever connection, had these pregnant young women kind of funnel through her house and have the babies and then go back to their normal life after that. And, you know, nobody ever knew that the girl was pregnant because she had this safe haven at Catherine Sproul's house. And Catherine Sproul was also really heavily involved with the Catholic Church in Memphis and was really good buddies with this particular Catholic priest. And about the same time as all of this happened, there was a baby-selling scandal in Memphis through this woman named Georgia Tan, who was caught and convicted and found out right at the same time that my mom was born. So we always grew up, or I grew up, kind of hearing these stories from my mom, and we hypothesized that Catherine Sproul and this priest were also involved in some sort of, at least, baby placement, maybe not baby selling, but shuffling of babies in some way.
Outside of the normal realms.
Outside
of
the normal realms of legal adoption, etc. And so right at the time Georgia Tan was caught, was the time my mom was born. So my mom never was adopted out from Catherine Sproul's house. And there were two other little girls that my mom grew up with who also were never placed with real families. They just lived in this kind of foster situation the whole time because we imagined they had to kind of lay low because this other scandal had broken out and they didn't want to draw attention to what they were doing.
So after she was grown, did she sort of take on an independent life without family?
She did. And she's a super strong-willed and powerful woman who is her whole life has never had any real family support and has just kind of done her own thing and is a really powerful character because of that, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Caroline and I aren't biological cousins, but when I first met your mother, she was so kind to me and so loving to me, and she has always said she was that way because you didn't have cousins like that or other extended family like that. So it meant so much to her to even have someone like me and Lizzie, my sister, to be there for you as family.
It does, yep. She's always been the type to really embrace anybody. And it's interesting for me because I'm kind of not closed off per se, but I'm more reserved. And she is so outgoing. I mean, she can be best friends with somebody in the grocery line in 5 minutes.
That's true.
And that's because I think that she didn't have anybody. Huh. And she had to just create her own community and her own family her whole life.
One afternoon in late 2015, Caroline's mother called to share some really surprising news. She decided to take a DNA test from Ancestry.com, and she'd just gotten back her results. Caroline had no idea that her mom had this going on, but she immediately said, "Give me your login. I'm more technologically savvy than you, and I'll help you figure this out."
So anyone who's done genealogical research will tell you that it is slow and tedious work, and Caroline had no idea what she was getting into. But after some solid digging, she got her first big break. She found someone who appeared to be her mother's second cousin, and this woman was named Mary Ann. So Caroline and Mary Ann began to talk.
When I took over my mom's account, you know, she and I started talking, and she said, "Well, my connection to you, our mutual shared connection, is this big family in Mississippi called the Lucketts." And my mom somehow in her distant memory remembers the name Luckett.
Does she?
Because Buck, the son of Catherine Sproul, always told my mom growing up, you know, "You're from this really good family and you should do really well in school because I know their brains in your genes and you need to really apply yourself because you have some smart relatives." And he told her the name Luckett somehow. She remembers
really?
The name.
So that was in the back of her head
somewhere. Yeah, because he knew my grandmother when she stayed with Catherine Sproul. You know, he remembered her. And she has a memory of when she was, you know, I don't know, 8 or 10 or so. They were having the Miss Mississippi contest. And her aunt won Miss Mississippi. And she remembers they were really rooting for her. And, you know, there was some connection with Miss Mississippi my mom always remembered.
Really?
And so Mary Jane, the second cousin match, when she shows up, you know, we're talking on the phone, and I said, you know, my mom has these memories of Buck telling her these things about her family, and she remembers a Miss Mississippi. I mean, just this random piece of information. And Mary Jane said, "Oh, yeah, that was my aunt was Miss Mississippi."
Wow.
And I said, "What? You know, send me her picture right away." And she did, and it could have been the spitting image of my mom. So that was just a really fun thing. I mean, to see a picture of anybody she's related to who actually looked like her. I mean, it really did. Was really, really exciting. And just we couldn't believe it, you know, after years and years and years of having no idea.
So you connect with this woman.
It's just a really magical thing.
Start talking on the phone. And then how does it progress? Like, how often are you doing this?
So, I mean, I'm doing it maybe every other day. And one day, I think Mary Jane actually texted me like, "Oh, my God, there's a first cousin match for your mom." Ah, you know, triple exclamation point. I think, what? Crazy. So I then get on my phone or a computer, I don't remember, and look at it. And sure enough, there's a first cousin match.
Wow.
And the username for the person is WOL84. And I have made this extensive Luckett family tree, not knowing where my mom falls in it. But, you know, I know all these names and I know all these people. So I had narrowed it down to this one group of Luckett women. I think it was a family of seven, and there were six girls and one boy. Anyway, one of the descendants from that side of the family, his name was William Oliver Luckett, W-O-L. And so I said, ding, 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 it must be him. So I sent this guy an email through Ancestry, like an Ancestry message that's, you know, this long, carefully written, you know, we're not trying to do anything here but just try to figure out my mom's history. And, you know, it would just mean the world to both of us if we were able to figure this out. You know, would you be willing to help? And he never responds. And, you know, this is the closest match so far. So it's really exciting. So we've got to get to the bottom of this. We're not going to let this go. We've got to figure it out. So then I sleuth around on Ancestry a little bit more and figure out who he is connected to. And somehow I found a person who I emailed that was connected to WOL in some way. And this young woman who is about our age writes back and says, oh my goodness, this is so exciting. I'm thrilled to help you.
Wow.
WOL is my uncle. And my mom and my sisters are so intrigued. And this is great. And her mom is sisters with W-O-L.
Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, we talk a little bit. I tell her the story. We talk on the phone. She's thrilled and excited and really ready to go. And finally, I worked up the nerve to say, well, you know, one way we could really figure this out is if your mom would take the DNA test. Because if she comes back as a first cousin match, then that confirms that my mom is from this branch of
the Luckett.
Of the Luckett's. So Celia, who was the mom, who was just as lovely as she could possibly be. I mean, I called her, you know, and said, hey, Celia, you know, hi, I'm Caroline Asher, and you don't know me from Adam, but we're related maybe. You know, I'm excited that you might be willing to do this, and talk to her about it a little bit. And it was as if I was talking to my mom on the phone. I mean, it was wild. Oh, hey, honey. Oh, that's great. Sure, I'd love to do that. You know, she was ready to go.
Okay.
So Mary Jane, the other cousin, bat, here she comes again. She happens to have an extra ancestry DNA test lying around.
Of course, Mary Jane
to the rescue. So she sends it to Celia. Celia takes the test, and it's right after Christmas of 2015. So, like the new year 2016, everybody in the United States has gotten an ancestry DNA test for Christmas, I guess, because it took at least 2 months to get it back.
Man. So you're just waiting.
So we are waiting and waiting and waiting to have confirmation that this is the right, you know, I'm on the right track here. And finally, one day, I guess it would have been in March, kind of late March.
Of 2016.
And I am pregnant with my first little baby boy who was due in the very beginning of May. So I'm really pregnant at this point. And this test comes back that Celia is, in fact, a first cousin match. And Celia and her brother, Bill, are their dad was the one boy in this family
of seven
or so, maybe of six girls. So he was the one boy. So it's one of his sisters is my mom's mom. And three of them are still alive. And one of them stood out to me from the beginning, Mildred, who moved to Illinois from Mississippi. The rest of them stayed in Mississippi. There was a pretty tight family. And I can't remember exactly how I realized this, but never was just kind of estranged from the family. Hmm. Somehow I figured that out with all my ancestry DNA records. Like she just was in Illinois doing her own thing. But I talked to Celia, and she says, you need to talk to Margie first. She is Chatty Cathy, one of the other sisters, Catherine, died a little while ago. And she was kind of the main one who was in charge of, like, family gossip. But now that she's dead, Margie has taken on this role. So you need to talk to Margie first. So I thought, okay. So she gives me Margie's number. So I, you know, one afternoon, like, and I'm trying to, the timing, okay, she's 89, you know, what's a good time to call an 89-year-old? I don't have any idea. So anyway, I called her one afternoon at like 4 and said, hi, Mrs. Ray, my name is Caroline Asher, and I have been working for about a year really diligently to figure out who my mom's biological family is. And I, through all my research, have figured out that it might be your family and that you might be one of her aunts or maybe even her mom. And that just absolutely delights me to think that that might be the case. And then I wait for her to say, and she says, "Oh my goodness, that is just the most interesting thing I have ever heard." And she said, "But I had two boys, so I know it wasn't me." "But I know, oh my goodness, you just sound so nice. I wish it was, because I would have loved to have a daughter."
Oh.
And you just, and I say, "Well, Margie, you know, I really wish it was you too, because you sound great." And then we talked for about an hour about, you know, "Well, do you remember any of your sisters being pregnant?" And, "Well, no, I don't really remember that." So finally, I decided to switch gears. And I said, "Well, you know, we also have figured out her family on her dad's side is from this big family of German immigrants who moved to Indiana, and then a little group of them moved to Mississippi. And their last name was Class." And she said, "Oh, one of my sisters was involved with a Class guy."
Oh, my.
And it just chills. I'm getting chills now telling it. But chills wash over me. You know, I break into a sweat. And I say to myself, "How can I get her to tell me which one?" And my wheels are spinning in my head. And finally, I just said, "Well, which sister?" And she said, "Oh, it was Mildred." The next day, I call Mildred, and she answers. And I said the exact same thing. "I've been working for many months trying to figure this out about my mom's biological family. And through all my research, you know, it's led me to think that maybe you might be one of her aunts, or maybe even her mother. And I'm just delighted to think that might be the case." And there was dead silence. She didn't say a word. And I didn't hear a click, but my phone said call ended. And I mean, my heart just cracked into pieces. So I don't know, it was about maybe a week and a half, not long after this, maybe 2 weeks or so. My mom all along is just saying, well, screw it. You know, I know this woman's address. I know her name. I'm going to go meet her. Like, this is crazy. She's 91. She could drop dead any minute. And she very well might have that day I called her on the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that might be what the situation was. And I'm saying, "Mama, you know, let's be calm. I have put forth all of this effort and all of this work, and we are not going to throw it out the window by a rash move on your part." And we're arguing back and forth for like a good, I don't know, week or two about, "Well, I'm just going to go." "No, don't go. Just be calm." "No, I'm going to go. I'm tired of this. I'm heading off." So she came up here and we were, you know, talking about this. And finally I said, "Well, you know, I've done all this work for you, and this is your history and this is your thing. And it's mine indirectly, I guess, but I grew up with a family. I had my dad's grandparents, you know, I had your family. I had a family."
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a void in my heart from not having a family like you did. "This is your thing and I have done this for you. And go, I'm handing it to you. You take it to the next step because this is, I've done what I can do."
Mm-hmm.
She says, "Great, I'm leaving tomorrow." So she arrives at like noon or so on, I think it was a Tuesday. It was April 14th, whatever day that is. And I'm at work, you know, trying to do my job. And my mom is, you know, right outside of her mother's. And she says, "Well, I'm here and I'm going in."
And she's bought a flower.
She's bought a big bunch of flowers that she's going to show up with at this woman's door. So she calls. I think she left me a message. I was in the bathroom or in a meeting or something, and I came back and there's this voice message from my mom. "Okay, I'm here and I'm going in." And it was like, you know, 12:15 or something. And I don't hear a word from her all afternoon.
And now Caroline's mom, Catherine, tells us what happened next.
So she opened the door and I said, "Mildred?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, what lovely flowers. Who are they from?" And she reached out to take them. And I said, no, they're too heavy. Let me just put them down." So I stepped inside the apartment and sat them on the dining room table. And she says, "Oh, they're just lovely. Who are they from?" I said, "Mildred, they're from me." And she gave me this very curious look. And she said, "Well, who are you?" I said, "Mildred, I'm Catherine." And she looked, she said, "Are you really?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Do you have a clue how long I've been looking for you?" She said, "Well, I've been looking for you since December 2nd, 1946. It was like, oh my God, she knew instantly who I was. So I just set the flowers down and took her by the hand, and I said, let's just go sit down and talk. So she sat on the sofa and I sat on a wooden coffee table. We were really knee to knee. I said, Mildred, I said, let me just say right off the bat, you didn't have a choice. In 1946, you couldn't go home with a baby. That was just unheard of without a husband. And I said, I have never had any animosity towards you at all. You didn't have a choice. You did what you thought was best at the time. And she said, well, let me tell you right off the bat, it was not a one-night stand. Well, I just cracked up. I just thought, how many 90-year-olds say that? And she said, I want you to know, I went with this man for a year and a half. He came home from the war. When you come home from war, they send you to a base for 3 months until you're discharged. And in that 3 months, my mother was planning a wedding in the backyard. She started buying antique tablecloths. We were going to have a big garden wedding in the backyard. And she said, and I found out I was pregnant. And I thought, well, I'm just not going to say anything because he's going to be home in a month. And she said, one morning, we were all having breakfast in my dining room, and there was my mother and father and my brothers and sisters. And my father drops his newspaper literally into his breakfast. My mother jumped up, ran around, thought he had had a stroke. She looked down, and the paper had my fiancé's picture on the front page that said he was engaged to marry a woman from Texas. Of course, the only people in the family that knew I was pregnant at the time was my mother and father. So she packed up her bags, and she moved to Memphis. She got a job with a district court judge because she was a court stenographer. And she said, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I had no intention whatsoever of putting you up for adoption because I could make a living. And I said, well, what happened? She said, well, when I got to Memphis, I moved into what was called a professional woman's hotel, kind of like the Barbizon in New York type thing. And she said, I stayed there for 6 months. And this woman in the hotel told the manager that I was pregnant. And that day she came and said, you're just going to have to leave. We can't have somebody pregnant. You know, this is a single woman's hotel. It'll ruin the business, blah, blah, blah. But I have a friend who keeps pregnant women. So 30 minutes later, up shows Mrs. Spruill and a priest. And so I went to stay at her house until you were born. Little did I know that every single day this priest was coming two or three times a day to say, you can't keep this child. There are too many Catholic families that need a baby, and you can't give this child what it needs to have. And, you know, you're Catholic, you know, you're already in trouble as it is because you're pregnant. So the best thing to do is start over and let us have the baby. So she delivered the baby. And 12 hours later, she went back to the same house, Mrs. Spruill's house. Well, she was there for 2 weeks. She got some kind of infection and ran a high fever and was hallucinating. And, well, one night about midnight, they came in. She was in her nightgown, put her on a train, and sent her to West Virginia. She had a sister that lived in West Virginia. And she was basically just completely out of it. She hallucinated on the train. So anyway, she went to her sister's house, and she didn't have a clue who she even was till December 24th. She had me December 2nd. The thing I think that was so amazing was that the last thing she saw was this priest walking down the hall with me. She thought I had gone into a nice little Ozzie and Harriet family. She had no clue that I would stay in that foster family. I was absolutely blown away that she would take my hand and call me darling. And when I got up to leave, I said, promise me that, you know, I'll see you again. And she said, I promise. And I said, you know, you did what you were supposed to do at the time. we'll have our time together, whether it's in this lifetime or another one. And she said, do you really believe that? I said, absolutely. I think that's the only thing that survives. You know, it's our love for each other. I wouldn't have been able to find you if that was supposed to be the end of it.
Last year, Caroline celebrated Mother's Day with her own child for the first time, and her mom celebrated her first Mother's Day knowing who her mother was. Caroline and her mom visited their new family in Mississippi last summer, and they've been welcomed with open arms.
And to close out this episode, we asked our own moms to share the advice that their mothers have given them that they keep returning to year after year. Here they are.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Explicit advice, I would say, is never say never. I think about that very often and have found that to be excellent advice. And even to the point that sometimes when I want to say I will never this or that will never happen, I think to myself, nope. Nope, don't say that. Don't do that.
And I bet you never thought you'd curse as much as you do now.
That is for sure. Well, maybe let me rephrase that. I never thought I would be as open about it. It was more mental or alone cursing. I have become freer.
I see.
With my words.
I see.
Public company, my family company anyway.
Well, I'm honored, sure. Mom. Thank you.
Well, y'all did give me that book.
That's true.
I felt my vocabulary.
We did give you the book of curse words. Well, thank you, Mom.
I think two things I returned to from her. One is a real devotion to her family. She was always very loyal to her mom, to her siblings, to kids, and their needs were her priority. And I think that served her well, and I think I learned that from her, and it's serving me pretty good, too. The other thing was she was always prepared for any eventuality. Like if we would go on a trip, she would have a big leather bag full of all kinds of drinks and snacks. And so I take that part of her too and try to do that.
Is that why you carry a tape measure in your purse?
That's right, why I carry a tape measure in my purse. And make good sandwiches. My mom always prided herself in making good sandwiches.
What are the good sandwiches?
Detail when you make a sandwich. Well, whatever it is, put your heart and soul into it. Like, you know, more, like I don't put the same thing on the bottom half of the bread as I put on the top. If I put butter on one side, then I might put chutney on the other side.
Ah.
I wouldn't be boring and put the same thing on both sides.
Got it. Well, that's important.
So I don't think I've even just gone to just peanut butter and jelly because we didn't grow up with that. So,
well, we'll have to have a sandwich lesson when I'm home.
Yeah, we can have a sandwich episode. But make good sandwiches. Don't waste money. Be as devoted as you can to your family. And Be prepared.
That- That's our show for today. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. And we'll be back with you next week. In the meantime, you can find us at sheandherradio.com, on Twitter and Instagram at sheandherradio, on Facebook, and everywhere in between.
That's right. All right, you guys, take care.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.